Can I say one thing? I am so effing ugly right now. Oh my God.
Get out of town.
No.
You look good.
No,
I like this shirt.
No. Hear me out. I just went in the bathroom to take a look at my bandage over my boil or whatever the hell it was. And I also have a cold sore. And I'm just like, what the F is going on? Like, what? It's just, I'm molting. It's just a bad, I need to glow up for my gig this weekend.
Counterpoint.
All right.
Colors of your shirt, extremely complimentary to your skin tone and the colors of your tattoos. It's a good look.
I love when you hit on me.
Think you actually look quite nice today.
Okay, your turn, Rach.
All I can say is, when it rains, it pours with that type
See,
of thing.
See, that's not an answer.
But I get the same thing. It's like, I'll have all of my ailments at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we kind of space this out a little bit.
Yeah, right.
What's going on? That being said, you look good. You don't, like, I don't think anyone walking down the street would be like, what is up with that guy? You're just fine.
Handing me money.
Just walking by. Damn, dude.
Especially with your headphones on, it mostly covers your bandage, too.
Yeah, too bad I can't wear these at restaurants and stuff.
I mean, you could, but might raise some questions.
For some reason, we love talking about airports and when things go wrong. Did you hear this latest story about the kid?
Yes.
You want to tell it? You know it that well?
I don't think I do.
So an airline was forced to cancel their flight after a child was standing in their seat and refused to secure their seatbelt. This was Porter Airlines, and this all happened in Canada. So,
went on for an hour.
Well, apparently where's the quote here? The attempts by the accompanying parent and crew to address this were unsuccessful. So you have a little toddler who won't sit on their butt and get buckled into their seat.
Yeah.
And the parent that was with them, because I don't think this little guy was traveling by himself, the parent that was with them and the flight crew couldn't just be like, no, sit down.
Couldn't solve it.
They said, well, honey, you know, I guess we're just not going to take the flight today. So this happened at a certain time of night. They had to get the child and their parents and their luggage off the plane, right? Well, by the time they had to get all that done, by the time that was said and done, they weren't able to report to take off because the runway closes at 12:30 a.m. So everyone on that flight had to get on a flight the next day.
Yeah.
So,
honey, it's time to fly on the plane now, sweetie.
How long did they do this?
An hour.
Here's my problem.
And the parent didn't just get up and take the kid off the plane so everyone else could go?
Mm-mm. Honey, I'll get you an extra Biscoff cookie if you sit down right now.
Also, you're going to sit.
I couldn't see how old the kid was. Like, they...
Yeah, they're not going to show pictures. Yeah,
it was a toddler.
A toddler.
Yeah, my problem, here's what's wrong with me, is that I absolutely believe that there's never any reason why you should ever lay hands on a child, especially a toddler. But also, I reject this premise. I reject that you cannot get the child.
Agreed. You grab their feet
down,
and then their butt sits
you
on the
sit
thing, and
the
then
child
you
down,
buckle him in.
You put the buckle on him.
Yeah, I mean, I get like the whole like the laying hands. I assume you mean like spanking or striking the child.
Correct.
When there is a little baby, like or a toddler,
you
or
can
a 5-year-old,
manipulate the toddler's body.
You have to physically move them sometimes.
Yeah.
If everyone just said like, "Honey, are you ready to go?" No one would ever get anything done.
It's time for school.
You cannot let the 2-year-old run the show. But so many people do it.
Yeah.
So many people are like, "Well, you know, you're making everyone on the flight very sad that you won't sit down." It's like, he doesn't care. He's a little baby.
Yes.
Yeah.
Take him
and
make him sit
down. You can't reason with a toddler.
You have to. It's your fault that he's not sitting down.
It's 100%
the parent's
fault.
Because you can sit him down.
Yeah.
And strap him in. And so when I say I reject this premise, I reject the premise that I would not be, somebody at least, would not be throttling this parent and going, pick the kid up, put his butt into the seat and strap him in. You're in charge of this situation. He's not in charge,
that's
or
right.
She.
I actually had something happen at Reagan Airport last 2 weeks ago, and I was reluctant to bring it up because they were flying to St. Louis and they landed and got out at Lambert.
Go get them.
I'm doing it anyway.
Get them.
There was a woman flying with her two children. Little boy was probably six. Little girl couldn't have been more than four.
I hate them already.
And the seat order at the gate was the mom, then the little girl, then the little boy. And the little girl won't stop messing with, I assume, her big brother. She won't stop touching him. She won't stop bothering him. And the mom just keeps yelling at her and telling her to stop. Keep your hands to yourself. Stop. And Dave, I swear to you, I had to stop myself from saying, you should sit between them.
Yes.
Because that's the logical thing, right? You have two children that won't stop touching each other. What do you do in a classroom? You move the kids apart. You remove them from the problem.
Yep.
You should sit between them. But I stopped myself from saying that because I'm not the kid's parent. She's obviously been their parent for years. And I don't think it would have went over very well if I would have given any advice. So I stopped myself. The little kids continue to tussle. This little girl ends up knocking over her mom's roller suitcase that had a toad on top of it. It had a bunch of cookies and stuff, and that flies all over the floor. And it falls onto a woman sitting across from them at the gate. And the mom just continues to yell at the little girl. The first move was not to clean it up and get it away from this poor woman who's just sitting there witnessing it. The first move was just to keep yelling at and scolding the kid.
What flavor of yelling?
Like, look what happens. Look what happens when you don't listen to me and you won't calm down. Now it's all over the floor. And so the woman sitting across from them ends up silently cleaning it up. And she said to the woman, she goes, yeah, it seems like you got a lot on your plate right now. And the mom keeps yelling at the little girl. She goes, do you want to sit in the back of the plane? Because that's what's going to happen. We're going to put you in the back of the plane while we sit in the front. Because that's what happens. And this guy is sitting behind them. And he turns around and goes, yeah, they're going to leave you at the airport. That's what happens when you're really bad. You get left behind. You don't get to go home.
Damn.
The little girl bursts into tears and then is crying the whole time until it's time to board because she's just been threatened with like abandonment.
Wow. By a stranger who is yes-anding.
Yeah. Like, it was really funny because I think the mom finally realized, like, okay.
Your kids are annoying everyone else. Yes.
And, okay, now everyone's getting involved.
Right, but then she really had no leg to stand on if she was going to be like, hey, don't talk to my kid like that. Because it's like, you've already ratcheted it up to this point.
Yeah.
Where like, everyone's stressed. Everyone feels like they're involved now. This random man now feels empowered to threaten your kid with like a totally different life.
Yeah.
You're never leaving D.C.
You're going to be adopted.
It was just crazy.
Okay, I'll pile on.
Do it.
When we were somewhere on one of our trips, like, yeah, we weren't where we were going. We were at like at a layover, waiting to fly back from Florida or something. And there was this family. First of all, they're so hateable. I'm sorry, but they're so hateable. They're just total swamp goats. All of them, they look like their head looked like a basketball with a tiny face stamped in the middle. They just weren't right. And there is this one kid that had found a loose piece of fabric in the carpet, and he started pulling at it. And, you know, the mother's like, you know, Sanchez, I told you, you know, and he just kept doing it to the point that it's like 8 feet long. Like the carpet's coming apart, and all of us are just watching like, I'm not sure where this is going to end. And they never resolved it. They never stopped him from doing that.
Some say he's still pulling that carpet to this day.
Okay. So important, relevant addition to this. All right. What's the rule? Because I haven't flown much. What's the rule for annoying adults? Like really obnoxious, difficult adults on an airplane? Are you supposed to say something to them? Are you supposed to just ignore them because you're all in a metal tube?
I think
in the sky for 6 hours or whatever.
Yeah, I was recently at a pretty nice restaurant, and there's always that guy or that lady.
Yeah.
But this guy, oh man, when I tell you I made a killing on Bitcoin, it was the whole time. And it's a pretty loudish restaurant. Everyone's talking, but you could absolutely hear every word he said.
I'm sorry, that was me.
Flying back from.
Are you
flying
like
back from?
Can you not control your volume?
No, I do sometimes forget, but mostly no.
Yeah, we've been to like places with
yeah,
you.
There
where
are
you
times.
Like,
there are times yeah, where I'll get the Susan like, "Hey, inside voice." I'm like, "Sorry."
It happens to me too.
Yeah.
I was flying back from Portland, and I was in front of a like extremely hungover bachelorette party attendee, and this person was so annoying. She just kept.
You should have let her have it with those flatulence.
She just kept screaming. Yeah, I know. You saw the message. Yeah, I know. You got, you remembered the thing because Brian said, "Shut up, Brian."
Anyway. The thing about Andrew is he will tell a legendary story about not being able to stop farting on a plane.
And then be mad when somebody brings it up.
We dare
stop
to
it.
Remember.
Don't bring it up.
He's like, oh, you're such a loser.
I chose to share this, but you're not allowed to remember it.
Only when it
told you that.
Only when it derails a future story.
I can't believe you're still thinking about that story where I was farting the whole flight.
And I will say, when I flew, when I flew last year, it was the first time I had flown since that happened in like a decade. And I was so scared it was going to happen again. Because I was
just
like,
a plane issue. Because
I was like, maybe it's just me in the air. Yeah. It's just, I don't know what the problem was last time. Hasn't happened again since, which is great. Because let me tell you, I was a little nervous.
Dave, okay. So your question.
Wait. We cut off Andrew's story.
No, she was just like the whole time, she's like, ooh, I need a sandwich. I am hungry. What do they bring around the water? Oh, I'm still drunk. So I need some water. Oh. I brought water, but I don't think it's going to be enough. And she, like, top of her lungs, just like hollering this. And the person next to her is doing that thing that you kind of do in that situation. Clearly, they weren't like together. They weren't like, flying together.
Yeah.
And they were just like, sandwich.
That's where you throw the headphones on and turn your music up.
And she had like some food with her, and she was like, this is going to be stinky, but I don't care. I guess everyone's just going to have to deal with it. I'm like,
you should have told her you're going to leave her at the airport. That seemed to be very effective.
Yeah. I should have turned around and been like, bad girls get left at the airport.
This has been like a year or more, and we've talked about it, but I hit my TikTok again, and I was infuriated all over again. My least favorite person on a plane was the lady who announced to everyone before they took off that she had just been nominated for her first Grammy in the gospel realm. And everyone's like, oh, hey, good for you. I would have too. Good for you. Mm-hmm. Grammy, it's a big deal. And she's like, yeah. So I love Jesus. Nobody love him like I do. And everyone's like, okay. That's nice little taste.
Wait, she just stood up and announced that?
Yes. And she.
Okay, you got it. That's a problem.
You need to Google it. And she literally wouldn't stop. And like, I think the captain had to come back. And he's like, ma'am, we're all really excited for you and your Grammy. She's like, not as excited as the Lord. And like, she wouldn't stop. Like, what are you doing?
He should have sang back at her, stop it or get off the plane.
Man.
I do think that is really telling of your character when you're like, this is my chance. They can't leave.
I know, right, yeah. Right. That's the biggest jerk
audience.
Move ever.
Yeah. So that you have to listen to whatever I say.
Yeah, that gets back to that point, the question of like, how do you address people, those things? I think it's different in an airplane than it would be in a movie theater.
Yes.
In a movie theater, it's like, hey, shut up already.
I can leave if I need to.
In a plane, you're all kind of stuck together. You better be a little quieter.
And Camo Wax, Bernie Mikolas joins us at the bottom of the hour. So, Andrew, you'd be proud of me. I finally lodged like a complaint against the Door Dasher.
Oh, really?
Yep. Gave him a really bad score, and they said, like, oh, was there an issue? And so I described it.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't hear anything back. Actually, they offered me $10 in DoorDash credits.
Yeah, take it.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
But I never saw the person. I have no idea who they were, what they looked like, anything. But the second I got like three bags from like Walgreens, had it been food, I would have thrown it out immediately, which tells you something because I ate a taco a kid threw up on. Mm. But the minute I brought it into the house, it reeked of cigarette smoke. And that's happened a couple times before, but not very often. But I guess I was in a bad mood. And I'm just like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude.
Yeah, it's tricky because, like, you know, they're allowed to smoke in their car or whatever, but it's definitely a very rude thing to do, you know, to, like, infect someone's food or groceries or whatever with, you know, really thick cigarette smoke or whatever. Like, roll the window down or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't take your food and go into a closet and light up.
Yeah.
Be kind of weird if I did.
I feel like people who smoke don't realize how big of a deal it is for the people who don't smoke. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
like,
that's
fair. Like, they're
used
to it, and it's like, this is just the way my car smells, and I would never notice because this is the way it is all the time. But if you aren't around that, then it is quite unpleasant, especially when you're ordering something to now bring into your home.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully they share that with them, because I've seen a couple of instances where, like, so you give someone, like, a bad review. And you say, like, yeah, it reeked of cigarette smoke. It was terrible. They don't share those, like, reasons with the people.
Yeah.
So he has, like, no idea why you gave him a bad review. And then he can't, like, you know. Because maybe if they said to him, like, hey, we've gotten complaints about your cigarette smoke, then he could go, like, oh, geez, I don't even smell it anymore. I don't even notice it. I've been smoking for 40 years or whatever it is.
All right. Right.
What other smell would that be acceptable with?
I mean, I would say there's none, right?
Well, this is my point. Like,
stinky smell that you should be delivering
people. That should be a consideration.
With.
Like, when you're doing deliveries, like, because if it was another kind of smell, you would be pissed if somebody brought your stuff smelling like that.
Yeah, so if it was like a weed smell or
anything. I mean, animal smell. What I mean, like, if you are bothered by something else, you shouldn't be like, well, but my smell's fine.
I think you get an animal smell on your stuff.
I mean, if you transport your dogs or cats in your car a lot, you could have cat hair or whatever, dog hair.
We've had a couple of people, like, deliver DoorDash. And I didn't give them bad reviews for it because I don't want to mess anyone up. But
don't make me feel bad.
No, you're fine. It would be valid if I had. It was, you know, like, there would have been no regret if I had done it. But, like, people delivering and they're like driving DoorDashing with their dog in the car, and the dog is like laying on the food.
Ugh.
You know what I mean? Like, the dog's head is resting on the, you know, quesadilla box or whatever, and it's like, get the dog off of the food.
Yeah.
Like, that bothers me.
Yeah.
So, like, I think animal smell is absolutely a thing that could that could happen.
Okay, I need a ruling on this. Okay, this won't take long.
Okay.
I ordered from Wendy's over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I got two small cheeseburgers, a baby fry, because I'm trying to lose some weight for my gig.
Nice.
And a soda. And when it showed up, there was a soda, loaded fries, like with bacon and cheese, which I didn't even know they did, and a Baconator. So they upgraded me, but it's not what I wanted to eat.
Yeah, they just gave you the wrong food. Like, they gave the guy the wrong food
bag,
to bring to you.
Yeah. Because
the guy doesn't know what's in the bag or even what's in your order.
Yeah.
So that's like that's a root Wendy's gave you the wrong, like, gave the guy the wrong thing to bring to you.
Yeah, I didn't complain. I tried to eat the Baconator, but it's not my gig.
Mm.
Yeah.
If you're wanting a small cheeseburger and then they bring you the Baconator, it's a bit intimidating for sure, I think.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a bit frightening.
Can you turn that into just a plain burger?
No, it was too much of a thing.
Okay, there's just too much stuff.
I like a wet burger. This was like
so it's got mayo and mayo.
Burger.
Okay, I gotcha.
It was a slapa.
Yeah.
Coming out to my Dave Glover Band gig on Sunday will be treated to this song, Never Been Any Reason by Head East. And I'm playing cowbell.
Nice.
Just wanted you to know.
Are you going to do the Will Ferrell cowbell dance?
No.
Come on.
I think that's been done.
Yeah, that's fair. I get you.
But Favre and I are trading off on the lead vocals. It really sounds good. A lot of fun. Dave Favre kills the keyboard, too.
Nice.
And, I mean, he's like a virtuoso on the saxophone, but he also plays keyboards and guitar. They all do. Friggin' people.
Nuts.
Bernie Miklas joins us. Hello, Bern.
Hey, good afternoon.
So it's always an interesting series, isn't it? Like, I'm learning that. Like, it's always interesting with this team. It's always a little bit up, a little bit down. What did you make of this most recent series?
Well, listen, I think the Cardinals had a hell of a week. You know, They were, think about it, they were three games under 500. They had slipped to about 4.5 games out of the third wild card. They had just, and you know, so they trade Newt Barr, they trade Dustin May, they trade JoJo Romero, they pick up a bunch of really good prospects, all of whom are ranked in their top 30. So after reaching their low point of being three under, and then after offloading even more veteran talent that was helping them, the Cardinals responded, the players that remain responded exactly how you hoped they would. They won two series in a row. They went into Yankee Stadium and took two out of three of a team with about a $300 million payroll. And then they had a fight off the Colorado Rockies, should have swept the series, but they got two out of three. So this is only the second time since early June that the Cardinals won back-to-back series, wow, which I think is really, really commendable. Really, really commendable considering that things were really going south on this team. They responded beautifully.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. And obviously, you know, tonight, Byrne, and we'll talk about this more on Redbird Rush Hour, but tonight is, if you're going to hold on to hope of hanging in there, they're 3.5 games out of the wild card, the third wild card, with three teams to catch. But the team in that spot is Philly. So this would be a good series to have a good series.
Yeah.
Well, they're going to listen, I don't trust the Cardinals offense just yet. And they get Andrew Painter, who was, you know, one of the Phillies' top pitching prospects. He's been up and down. But, you know, the next two nights after that, or the next 2 days after that, they've got to take on two gorillas, basically, Christopher Sanchez and Zach Wheeler. So those two games, those are really tough assignments. I'm not saying they can't win one of the two or whatever, but I'm just saying they better get this one tonight and then hope to get one of the final two.
Yes, hey, tonight's important because the guy with us almost 7 ERA is the one you want to get, because the other two are two of the best pitchers in the National League.
Speaking of guys with high ERAs, we know we had to do it. Byrne, what, I know you did a video on Libby. I've not seen it yet, but I'd love to hear about it.
Listen, long story short, And I could sit here and read, you know, 1,000 numbers where, and it would blow people away about just how bad Libertor is. I take no joy in saying that. But here's a guy that the Cardinals really, without any competition, just basically said, hey, this is our number one starter. Hey, this is our guy. You're basically declaring to the world that this is your best starting pitcher. Matthew Libertor has had a horrendous season. He's been horrendous, really, in his last 42 major league starts. And, you know, I've got all these things about where he's ranked in all these different categories. He's been a bottom five major league starting pitcher. Every statistical criteria you could use. Mm-hmm. The other thing is this year, when he was in the bullpen in 2024, he was lights out against left-handed hitters. This year, left-handed hitter, he can't even tame left-handed hitters, which is unusual for a left-handed pitcher. If you add up all the batters that he faced, it comes out to like 22. He's faced left-handed hitters for basically the equivalent of 22 and two-thirds innings. He's given up 7 home runs. He's given up 20. He's given up 7 home runs and has an ERA of 7.71 against left-handed hitters. That is shockingly bad. That is shockingly bad. It's not just bad, it's shockingly bad. The other thing, we all know Busch Stadium protects pitchers very, very well. Libertor this season's got a higher ERA and a much higher home runs allowed rate at Busch Stadium compared to the road. So if you go to a StatsCast page, all you'll see is blue. You don't want to see blue. You want to see red. So there's 16 categories. There's only one where he is slightly above average, and that's his breaking balls. So, I mean, I don't know what else to say. It is what it is.
Let me ask you both the $64,000 question. In your opinion, if you had to bet your own $10, is Libertor off, or are we seeing, no, this is just who he is. This is his level.
It's who he is. And Wheels, I'm sorry to jump in, but let me finish this because I did all this research today. Because I was on X, I was asking some people, so like, well, you know, can't they change his pitch mix? Well, you know, and I'm not being a smart aleck. But he has a pretty good curveball and he has a pretty good slider. He does. They're both rated above average in terms of stuff plus and all that. His three different varieties of fastballs, the four seamer, the sinker, and the cutter, are absolutely awful. They're batting practice pitches, basically. So if you don't have one fastball that enables you to get hitters out at a reasonable rate, let alone it's not a dominant rate, but just get them out enough. Where do you go from there? You can't pitch well without a fastball that works.
I've not understood this for a long time now, because as you pointed out, Bernie, this isn't just recent. This goes back to June of last year. So we're
42 starts.
Right, which is a season, for people that don't do the numbers, a season is 32, 33 starts. So this is a season and a third worth of starts. And I don't understand what they don't see. He has only had two instances this year in 23 starts where he has been good in back-to-back outings. Only happened twice, and it hasn't happened since early May. He only has five quality starts in 23 starts, and a quality start is just a 450 ERA. It's not even that good. He's only done that five. He has as many outings where he's out of the game in less than five innings than he does quality starts. And then you look at this weekend, he had his head straight up his butt. He's right. Not holding runners. They're just taking off left and right. You're not holding runners when Ivan Herrera is your catcher. You're not covering first base when you give up a ground ball to first base. I'm sorry. He needs to come out. And I don't buy the argument that he's got nothing left to learn in AAA. He's got plenty to work on. Maybe he doesn't have to prove it against AAA hitters, but he doesn't belong here right now. He's not doing his job, and this idea that Nolan Gorman can go down because he's not performing, but Matthew Liberatore, what's the difference?
No, the double standards are appalling, quite frankly. There's no justification for the double standards. If you want to give a guy an opportunity, Matthew Liberatore has had an opportunity for the last year and a half,
yeah,
and he's basically been getting walloped. Like if he were a boxer, they would have stopped the fight. They would have threw in the towel and they would have said, listen, we got to submit him to some kind of neurological testing because all he's doing is absorbing heavy punches and he doesn't have anything to punch the other team with.
It's crazy because every time he has a good start, it's like, see, that's the guy we're looking for. Well, it's only happened one out of every seven starts or something. Like, what are we doing?
Well, what the heck does poor Quinn Matthews have to do to get a spot in the rotation? You know, I don't get this. I've been very, very upbeat, continue to be very positive about Heim Bloom in this front office. But this is weird that they draw a line in the sand on this guy. Is it because Bloom was part of the front office in Tampa Bay that drafted Liberatore?
I don't know.
I don't get it. I just simply don't get it. And despite this, here's the thing, because people are on X and they're like, well, I can tell you what's wrong with Liberatore. You know, they got to fire the pitching coach. let me tell you something. Even with Liberatore in the rotation as a tremendous liability, right? The Cardinals are a top 10 rotation in the major leagues.
Yeah.
In a top five or six rotation in the National League since May the 1st. That's with Liberatore.
Right.
So the solution is not to fire. It is not to fire the pitching coach, okay?
Yeah. Yeah, and that's with only one guy in the group having exceedingly good stuff, right? I mean, Dustin May is the guy that you would say, ooh, he's got big stuff. Because everybody else is getting by with coachable stuff, right? Pitch shapes and pitch selection and that kind of stuff. So that's stuff that's coachable. It's not like they're just, we got five guys throwing 100. That's not
that's
it.
Right.
You got guys throwing 91, 92, and you're winning with them, or at least they're performing.
You know, it's okay to hold players accountable.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay to do that.
Yeah, I don't understand, like, the hall pass that's going on here, because there's nothing. If you look at his own mental, he does not look like he's okay right now. And I don't mean like in a human way. I mean as a baseball player. He has no confidence, and there's a good reason for it, because he knows he's been awful. And when you watch a guy mentally check out like he did this weekend, this is the time to send him down, because he is struggling.
this was, to me, it's the last straw, because let's get back to what I said at the top.
Yeah.
The Cardinals had been down, right? They had really been losing a lot. And I'm sure it was tough to keep their morale, you know, totally high all the time. I'm sure there were some down moments emotionally, mentally for them. So this team decided, well, we're going to fight back. All right, let's go. Well, you know, not that they ever stopped fighting, but they just said, sucked it up. All right, trade deadline's behind us. This is our team. We're all here. Let's go. And they go out there. I mean, you win a series at Yankee Stadium, I think that's a big deal, especially given the discrepancy of the payrolls and discrepancy of the talent. And you come back to college. Then you come home and you beat Colorado. Okay. And so you have a game that you should have won Saturday, except he can't be bothered to cover first base. He can't in that third inning, he's hitting a guy. He threw a wild pitch. That was also the inning where he fell asleep, didn't cover first base. I'm sorry, man. And I guess I can use the word hard ass. Okay. I just did. I'm not a hard ass, but at that point, that's it. He's got to come out of that rotation and do what you did. What is to be gained by keeping him up here to take repeated beatdowns? He needs to be put down there, not as a punishment, to let him regroup and reset. And work on things in the lab and have like a team of instructors diagnose them, try to give them a plan to get back, to get rolling again, just what they did with Gorman. And so what I don't understand is, why do they think that what we're seeing and what we will see, why do they think this is good for Matthew Liberatore?
Bern, I love the fire. Tell us about Saliga, yeah, please.
I got the fire, my friend.
You got the fire. Welcome back, DGS. After the top of the hour, Art Holliday is going to be here. He is finishing up his feature film, Johnny Be Good, about Johnny Johnson. It's always great to see Art. He and I go all the way back. On the show sheet, Rach says, we're late, but the YSL giveaway and work controversy. And the only thing I know what YSL means is Yves Saint Laurent. But knowing Rach, I thought, oh, it's something sexual. You know how she's always doing that to us, like, oh, TW5. And we're like, what's that supposed to mean? But no, it's Yves Saint Laurent. So what's going on?
Okay, so this went viral. I don't know if it was posted on Twitter or Reddit or what have you, but it has been discussed in every corner of the internet at this point. This man was at work. They were having a fancy raffle, and he won a YSL gift bag full of YSL makeup, which I would love to receive something like this. I think any woman mildly interested in makeup would be thrilled to receive this. But he gets it, and he immediately just gives it to his female coworker because she's standing right there. He's like, here you go. Great job at work. He comes home and he tells his wife about it. And his wife is pretty upset. She's like, why wouldn't you bring that makeup bag home to me? Like, don't you think I would really like it? And then, of course, the internet is just completely melting down about it. It's either proof that he is the worst husband on the planet, he's cheating with the coworker. Who on earth would do something like this? But I have maybe a more relaxed take on the situation.
Hear it.
I think sometimes guys are just kind of dumb.
Stop telling our secrets.
And I don't know that
she's going to need to be dealt with, boys.
I don't know that it registered to him, like, how great of a gift basket this was. Yeah, I think he just thought, like, oh, she would like it. Here you go. Here, you can have it.
I would not know that.
So he was, like, handing off the golf ball to a little kid.
Right, exactly.
Or the baseball. Right. I just disagree that this is, like, proof positive that he has always hated her and he wants divorce and he will never do anything nice for her and she needs to leave him right now. It's like, no, but maybe he should buy her some nice YSL makeup to make up for
it. He did two stupid things. The first stupid thing he did was give it to his coworker. He should have taken it home to his wife. The second stupid thing he did was he told his wife about it.
Yeah, you take that to the grave.
Yeah. Correct.
255, this time check is brought to you by Paramount Men's Medical Center.